What's up, podcast listeners? It's Nate Russell. I'm here to tell you about another podcast on this UCB Comedy Podcast Network, my show, the UCB Digital Podcast. I bring on writers, directors, editors, actors, producers, and get the inside scoop on what's happening in the world of comedy filmmaking. It's like a fancy Hollywood networking party, but instead of having to actually socialize, you just sit back and put your headphones on. There's new episodes every single Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best Definitely Dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Welcome back to another episode of Definitely Dying, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We got a little something different for you today. Old Madeline is not with us. She's alive. Don't get me wrong. She's alive, but she's out of town. She's with family in Cleveland, Ohio. And so so we brought in an old friend of the podcast, a pal from our first few episodes. Joe Saunders is here. You remember Joe from he was a writer for Comedy Bang Bang and at least one of the award shows. I always get it wrong. Which one was it? The Emmys?
You sound like my manager.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite clients, Joe Saunders, is here. Joe, how's things been since we heard from you last?
Things have been good, Ben. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
You know, anytime Madeline's not here, I'm eager and ready to jump in and co-host and do whatever I can to help out.
And it's rare that an understudy would steal the show, but I feel like that's likely to be the case today.
I mean, I don't want to raise anyone's expectations, but I think it's very possible it could happen.
Expectations are through the roof, just naturally. And
yes.
So how's your health been over the last year? You've been keeping it together?
I've been pretty healthy. Yeah. I did go to the dentist. I got a lot of dental work done this year.
Oh, really? Do tell. I am a big proponent of going to the dentist, and I was going very frequently and had a social relationship with my dentist, Dr. Donna Liu.
I think you've told me about your dentist.
Yeah.
Like, I know about your dentist.
Yeah, she's a stone cold fox.
Yes.
If you're in the Beverly Hills area and you need someone to look at your teeth,
Beverly Hills dentist.
Yeah, I think they're called Beverly Grove. I think is the name of the place. Look up Dr. Donna Liu. Tell her I said she was hot.
I will look up Dr.
Yeah.
Donna Liu.
Actually, let's look her up right now. This is something we can't do when Madeline's around. She never wants to like talk about hot honeys with me.
Yeah, the dogs are kind of out tonight.
Right. Most
pathetic.
Yeah. It's the puppy dogs are out tonight. We're having a little cuddle fest in here.
Sure.
Madeline usually likes things a little bit more biting. All right, let's see. Donna Liu. She's a babe. I don't know if she listens to this podcast. I'd be very embarrassed if she does, but doesn't change the fact that she's a looker.
You know, I got all this work done with my dentist.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I hadn't been in like 6 years. Uh-huh. 7 years.
Wow.
And the dentist was very mad.
Yeah, that pisses them off.
And she was like, "Your mouth is a disaster."
Whoa.
She's like, "You don't know how to brush."
Whoa.
"You don't know how to floss." She's like, if you had a brain tumor, you could possibly die from it.
Wait, what does that mean?
That means, yeah. Let's see. Okay, Dr. Donna Liu. Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't kidding.
She's a babe.
Dr. Donna Liu.
She's a babe. I don't know if she's good at dentistry, but she's a babe.
Hey, I'm looking. Those pearly whites look pretty pearly white.
Are you talking about mine or hers?
I'm talking about hers.
Yeah, I figured hers.
She's
yeah,
doing
yeah.
a great job on her own teeth. yours are.
Mine are popcorn kernels on their worst day.
Yeah.
Chewed up popcorn kernels. Okay, so tell us. So.
Oh, yeah.
So she said, did she actually use the words, your brain. Mouth is a disaster?
I think so. She also was, had an easy, this wasn't the dentist. This was like the dental, not the hygienist, but like someone else who's like a specialist there who was doing stuff. And she was like, had like kind of an Eastern European accent. So it had a whole another element to it.
Your mouth is disaster.
But I had a lot of bleeding.
Yes.
Which is gross.
In the gums.
And she was like, your blood is gushing out. And like, it was very, I was like, I know, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Tell me. And she was like, if you had a brain tumor, the doctor wouldn't operate on you because you have so much bleeding, you would get an infection.
Oh, wow.
And so you could, if you had a brain tumor, you might die from it.
Holy
right?
shit.
And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, well, that's a lot to hear from a dentist, not even a dentist. This is still just the Middle Eastern, or not Middle Eastern, Eastern European. Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, God. And she was like, this is what you got to do. She showed me, and now I get these little picks. And I do it, and I went back. She was like, you have to come back in 2 months, and I have to look. And I went back 2 months later, and it was great. And she was like, yeah, it's all good now.
Yeah. The lifestyle changes in the mouth, they do seem to work pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And they seem to combat, like, you'll go in on one of these days, and they'll be like, soon you're going to have gingivitis. There's no cure for gingivitis. You'll be screwed for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 2 months of flossing later, like, brushing on a semi-regular basis, I do a few other things. But really, when you boil it down, those two things, and it seems like your gums go back to normal. They become pink. Your teeth, I think it probably takes, like, I'm not sure if a person whose teeth are not, like, pearly white can ever get them pearly white.
I don't think mine will ever be. Yeah,
I don't think so either. People use like the whitener, right?
The strips or something like that. Or?
Yeah, and then I think the dentists have like some extreme form of the.
Yeah.
What's it? No, I was gonna say Invisalign, but that's something different. I think those are the braces.
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah, there's some whitening thing that Dr. Donna Liu does where she was like, because I have fake teeth. My front two are fake from a baseball accident.
Wow.
And so after like 10 years, I had to remove the first fakies and put in some new fakies. And she was like, if you're going to do teeth whitening, do it before we put in the new fakies because you can't actually make the fake. You want to color the you want the fake teeth to be the color of your other teeth. Because they're going to match them.
Oh, they match
mouth.
Them.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
So they were like, don't do it after the fact, or you're going to have these two teeth that look like your old yellow teeth, and then they'll be surrounded by these white ones, which I was like, that's how I like my gold, baby. A little bit of white, a little bit of yellow. So I didn't do it. Also, it was just sort of like, who's going to give a shit, you know? Like, I've noticed on TV every once in a while, you'll see, like, somebody in, like, a television show that doesn't have, like, perfectly white teeth, and it really stands out.
Yes.
But anywhere else, I don't notice people's teeth in that regard. Unless they're like, you know, ganglers. Unless they're like, you know, just a real fucked up grill.
Yeah, I feel like most people, you don't notice their teeth.
It's
like someone has to have an odd thing going on for you to.
I don't notice your teeth. I don't notice your shoes. None of those things. None of our accessories. I consider teeth to be accessories. That's great. So you're heavy in the dental game now. How long do you think it's going to last?
I think I'm on board. I'm on the train. Yeah. I'm going to ride it out till I die.
That's great.
I have an electric toothbrush that I'm using. I'm using these picks. I get the picks from Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime
just sends me like 1,000 picks at a time.
Yeah, you get a lot of the picks. They don't sell a few picks. You buy 1,000 picks or zero.
Well, it's good. You go through them a lot.
You do.
And, you know, it's good. I feel good about it. I know how to floss now. That's good.
Which electric toothbrush do you have?
An Oral-B.
Oral-B? Which one, though?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. I think I have an Oral-B, too. I think it's the diamond one. Maybe it's not Oral-B. I spent way too much money on an electric toothbrush and then found out I didn't like it.
I've had this one and I didn't use it for a while because I didn't like it. But then I got the dentist told me, showed me how to use it and explained it. And she's like, this is what you do with it, you idiot. And
do you have one of those ones that like shuts off after a certain amount of time?
It doesn't shut off, but it gives me a signal every 30 seconds.
Okay, so I think that's basically the same. Yeah, and then you get that, and then you're supposed to go to like the other side of your teeth, right? Yeah, I think that might be the same one, the Diamond Clean, I think it's called.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good toothbrush.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks
I'm
for
so
helping out
I'm so excited to
today.
Be here.
It was... I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, we're really excited to have you. And now, why don't we start the show and bring along our guest?
Sounds great.
Great, thank you. Guys, we have a great guest for you today. We're so excited to have her. As you know, Madeline's not here, but that's okay because Joe Saunders is here to help me interview. Just a great guest. She is a comedian. She's a writer. If you've been around UCB in the last however long, you know her. She's a legend around these parts. She's a great person. If you know her, you love her. It's Cody Elizabeth Fisher.
Hi,
welcome.
Everybody. Thanks for using my middle name.
Okay, yeah, wait. If you put it on social media, then I put it in my intro. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I did that forever ago, so people couldn't find me on Facebook.
Oh.
And
like people you knew from growing up, or?
Yeah, just generally, because I only just go by my first and last name for everything. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I heard if you put middle name or something else, it's harder for people to search
you.
That
does make sense. Yeah.
Mm. And I don't know why it would want to make it harder, because I love attention.
Yeah, no.
I want to make people work for it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good move. Okay, so you've heard the podcast before. You know how we start these. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
I would say a 5. I'm like in the middle. It takes things for me to be like on a plane or on a train or in a car going really fast. Mm-hmm. But me being the passenger and thinking, I could just get in an accident and die right now. That often goes through my head.
Oh, really?
But not when I'm like walking around.
Right, right, right. Like you're not like a generally fearful person.
No.
It's just like when the possibility of death feels more imminent or like outside of your control. Do you consider yourself a person who needs control? I consider myself a person who needs to be in control.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. And I think it was the only thing that kept me from being a total drug addict. And like I loved drugs.
Yeah.
Loved. Probably still do. But there's a part where like I definitely want to be in control. Mm-hmm. And so it keeps me from like doing it again.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And just like, let's go all night. It's like, okay, we're done.
Yeah. No, I think I was the opposite where I was like, I did drugs until I felt in control of myself, like when I was on weed. And now I just have a weed problem, I think. Maybe it's not a good move. You a control freak, Joe?
Yeah, I think I'm a control freak. I've like tried to get into drugs and I can't, I can't do it. I wish I could be like a drug person.
I just imagine you sitting at home with all these different drugs on the table. What should I do tonight?
Yeah, which one?
A glass of wine. Glass of beer.
Wow.
Which one to take?
Oh my God, Joe, you're hardcore.
You're really hardcore.
Can't do either.
So you had a drug period in your life?
Yeah, I would say the end of junior high school.
Oh, wow.
Which is very young.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time, I'm like, I'm cool, an adult. But then every time I see a really young kid smoking a cigarette, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, you stupid child? But yeah, I smoked weed pretty early on. I did a lot of like mushrooms, acid.
Whoa, at the end of junior high?
That was more high school.
Okay, yeah,
junior high was just weed, really shitty weed that someone got from their older sibling or something.
And you're from the Valley, right? From in Los Angeles.
Yeah, my family's like in Sunland, Burbank, and I went to school most of the time in Simi Valley. So it was there's nothing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a whole bunch of like bored teenagers for the most part. But yeah, and it's just like, yeah, I did acid. I had an acid flashback in a classroom.
Whoa, do tell.
And I don't remember. I remember sitting, it was health class, I remember sitting there and then just feeling like really hot and sweaty. And I'm like, what's happening to me? And then I kind of started seeing like these shadows come up behind my teacher. I'm like, what is going on? And then I think it was a flashback. And then I kind of like blanked a little bit and then kind of was just like remembered my friend taking me to the bathroom. I think the teacher just thought I was like going to throw up or something.
Yeah.
And then I just remember kind of like coming back to like in the bathroom with my friend who I had done acid with. And I was like, I think I had a flashback and I don't think I can do acid anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that kind of thing never happened to me again.
No, I feel like I only hear about that in like people have like flashbacks, like from the 70s or whatever. Right. Like you go back to Vietnam or something in your head.
I think that, granted, I'm sure everyone here has been in therapy at some point, but I've learned kind of like how much stress.
No.
You really never?
Yeah,
I'm
the perfect person to do it. I have names of therapists I'm supposed to call, and I've never done it.
Oh, so you're maybe a psychopath.
Maybe.
Do you think it's because you come from Southern Republicans? Were you shaped as a person who mental health? You weren't allowed to think about mental health?
I don't think I was not allowed to think about mental health, but I didn't know anyone that was in therapy growing up. It was only when I got to California and everyone was in therapy.
Yeah.
I didn't really know anything about therapy until junior year of high school. I just signed up for an elective class. It was like therapy. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was, but it was like there was a teacher who used to be a therapist. I was just kind of learning about like the mind and mental health. And then I think she realized like I had a lot of repressed and fucked up shit. Like if you're a good therapist, you just know. And then I started doing therapy sessions with her, and it kind of like changed, and like going to a therapist at school and then having more actually free therapists in community college.
So it was
kind of like I kind of got lucky and had like a few really good people where I know you, mm-hmm. when people search them out, they can be like, my therapist was terrible.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard because like it does feel a little bit like a breakup when you tell a therapist that you don't want to see them any longer. And I've had that situation happen multiple times because they're mostly not. It's not that they weren't good at their job. They just weren't right for me. Same as, you know, it's like you're not saying that this person that you don't want to date any longer is a bad person. They're just not like the one for you.
They also know so much about you.
So much.
So you're like, ugh.
Yeah. No, I'm one of those people who takes like who finds great solace in the in that patient therapist confidentiality thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the only part about therapy that I like is that your friends or like, you know, somebody that you would just tell, like if we were to tell things to each other now, you guys can tell anyone that you want, and I can be upset, and we wouldn't be friends any longer, but that would be the extent of the recourse that I could take, is just I couldn't be your friend any longer. But you can throw a therapist in jail if they start spilling your secrets. That's very important to me, to anyone whose secrets
control.
I'm very controlling in therapy. Actually, that's extremely true. I would frequently be like, we're not talking today. We're not doing this today.
How does therapy work? Like, I feel I'm a little intimidated by the idea of like going to a therapist and sitting down and the therapist being like, okay, so why are you here? And I'd be like, I don't know.
That is pretty much how it starts.
Seems
like I'm supposed to.
I've gone in and been like, I want to talk about these things. And then they're like, okay, let's.
Yeah. It's like I want to talk about my family. I want to talk about.
All right, slow your roll, Fisher.
Yeah.
I'm the first guy I got to ask you, why are you here?
Yeah.
And they do. They often do ask you that.
Yeah.
And you should know. I think it doesn't work too terribly well when you don't have a reason. Like if you just think like, oh, I think it would be good to have somebody to talk to. I think having like an impetus for going in the first place is wise. I mean, I think going in with like something that Cody, you brought this, we have a bowl of dragon fruit here and we're going to talk about in a little. Sometimes it's nice to just have an agenda when you enter in, and then it frees you to just let loose whatever you need to let loose. But you want to talk about your experience for Joe's sake?
Oh,
or no.
pretend you're in therapy right now.
Yeah.
Well, I was like kind of raised to like not talk about your feelings. Mm-hmm. It's just like a walk it off, whether you're physically hurt or mentally upset. Just like, get over it. And you're like, yeah, get over it. Well, then sometimes you don't get over it.
Right.
And then it comes out in crazy physical ways.
Oh, yeah.
But you're like, I'm fine. God, why have I had a flu for a year? You know what I mean? Yeah. And stuff like that.
That's such a perfect description of how these things truly manifest physically. And then at some point, like somebody's like, I think you're fucked up. And then you end up in therapy.
You end up in therapy and then you end up maybe dating another person who's done therapy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now like mine and my, he told me to call him his partner. My partner, if they came up.
Partner.
So my partner, when we get into fights or we're upset, we know when to sit down. It just becomes like, when you said this, it made me feel like this. And then we know it's so stupid. Yeah. It kind of seems stupid, but it's like, this is how I have to get this out. And if we said it in like a therapy setting, we know we can't get mad. We just have to sit and hear what the other person is saying.
Yeah.
And just go like, yeah, you felt that way, but I didn't mean it this way. I'll try not to do it again. And it's weirdly so helpful. And it's like the only way I know how to be in a relationship with somebody.
Joe, I think that would be so helpful for you.
Oh, my God.
This is like, I legitimately think this is life-changing for you.
Yeah, I think it would be.
No, I think that's you guys really are partners. I mean, that's sort of like.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So how long have you gone?
To therapy? Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I haven't been in a while, and I was really had that moment of, like, last week, I really need to go back for some stuff. But it was, like, on and off since probably that last part of high school through college.
Oh, wow.
And there was some time in between that I was off, and then I had a really bad relationship and was like, it was getting into a series of bad ones, I think. I'm like, I might be doing this on purpose, and I'm not sure. And it was like, yes.
You saw a pattern generating, and then...
Yeah. I was kind of like, and these don't feel good. I don't feel good about any of this. And so it's like, at least knowing that I should go back was like a nice... That was like, oh, I know that I need to work something out that I'm not dealing with.
No question.
Joe, what are you dealing with?
Yeah, what are you dealing with, Joe?
Oh, my God. Where to even start?
Oh, no.
I also don't like going to the dentist.
Yeah, no, I was saying, while you were talking about, I was thinking about how I needed to schedule a dentist appointment for that same reason.
I definitely need to go to the dentist. I haven't been in a very long time. My partner gets very mad at me about it. But we can talk about later. This past year, I've had so many weird health things happen that I was like, one thing at a fucking time.
Yeah.
I can't be going to like three different doctors, three different things, because one is stressful.
No, definitely. Are you somebody who's prone to stress?
Yes.
Are you an anxious person in general?
I don't think that I am, and this is part of the problem. Like sometimes I'm like easygoing, and then like I let things go, and then I really sometimes I'm like it's slowly building up until I'm like, oh my God. Like, But I try to be better at recognizing it. And then I'm just like, if I'm really stressed, I'm like, okay, I need to stop. And I need to just like maybe not talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a night I don't talk to anyone. And I just like veg out and not decompress and not worry or think about something. And then slightly think about, why am I stressed out? What do I need to do to stop it? Do I need to change A, B, or C? And then sometimes you just don't. You're like, I'm gonna get over it, and then you get stressed out again, and it's just a weird cycle.
Yeah. But that's still pretty good. I mean, that's a good proactive approach, I think, to stress. Take a day off, sort of a decompression day, stop.
Yeah, sometimes you're just like, okay, I'm not gonna go out to dinner. I guess that's bad too. I'm not gonna go out to dinner tonight with these people or do this thing, because I just need to like, it feels like too much. It's like borders on social anxiety, where it's like, I feel like if I'm starting about one thing and then I have to like, someone's like, hey, how was your day? What was that? I'm like, I can't talk about it.
And then
I start to stress out, which I know no one else will care, but I'm like, I can't.
No, I don't notice it until I've lashed out and then I'm very upset with myself. But yeah, then I'll stop. I have to learn to do it before the lash out. Like someone will be like, how was your day or whatever. It's like, I can't, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me?
What you need is a mother and a brother who do that. And then you go, I don't want to do that. But sometimes it happens. I think it happens. Like, we're all human beings, so we all take on a lot. And so sometimes you're walking around work or wherever else, and then you're stressed out about things, and then someone says something so benign, and you're like, shut up, you fucking asshole.
And
they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that to that person.
Yeah. No, I do it in my writing class. I've noticed like lately when I like, cause I'm approaching a point where I get a break, but I'm like exhausted and I desperately need the break, but I'll find myself like someone will ask me a question that, it wasn't even worth asking. It doesn't, I have no horse in that race. And my go-to, and I feel very bad about this, but I can't seem to control it from coming out of my mouth, is fuck if I care. And it's very harsh, but I say it so freaking often at this point. Fuck if I care. And I do it like that with my hand. You can't see what my hands are doing. It's like, fuck if I care. Like I have a cartoon Kathy moment, but like with the hostility of a giant man. That's what I'm noticing. And I think it happened more like I turned 40 this year. I bring it up on every single podcast. But it was a thank you. I survived
to
40.
Made it.
Yeah, I made it. But yeah, for some reason at 40, I was just like, I'm allowed to say that whenever I want to. I don't think I'm allowed to say it ever, but I definitely say it a lot.
That number, it's so funny, especially like for women. And I was like going through some like, not that crazy medical stuff, but I was having to go to like my gynecologist all the time. And every time they go in, once you hit 30 as a woman, which shouldn't be that big a deal, they're like, oh, when do you think you're having kids? Well, you should start thinking about it. And now 35 is this weird magical cutoff time they give women. And I turned 34 this year. And I was like literally seeing my gynecologist every month.
Wow.
And
for reasons or because you turned?
We can talk about cervical cancer, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do here.
It's weird and it's interesting. And I realize like doctors don't know that much about certain issues.
Yeah, yeah. No, I believe it.
But it was so crazy because like every time I go in, she's like, so when are you thinking about having kids? Because I'm like, I don't know. And that was like the most stressful thing of like, I'm like in a room and they're making me like answer this question. And they're like, well, you know, you got some hard decisions to make in a year. And I'm like, what? So it's like 35 as a woman. You're like, what, am I just done?
Right, yeah.
Can I not exist as like a human in the world? Because like, you're like, now you can't have babies. You're like, God, I didn't think about it. Now you have me thinking about it. Now I'm fucking stressed out.
Yeah. So going into that, had you even, were kids even something you thought about in your life?
I don't, that's the crazy part. I was just like, I guess I didn't realize how old I was getting.
No, I think that's a Hollywood thing.
Yeah, it sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know, maybe?
Yeah. And it's a lot harder when they start telling you like, you have to decide.
Yeah, and I'm also like, I live like a child right now. Like,
we all do. That's another Hollywood thing. Yeah.
How do I? And then you get other people go like, you just have one and you figure out. I'm like, I don't know. That's what my parents did. Didn't really work out very well. Yeah.
That's such a lie.
No.
That's such a lie people tell.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't. I feel like very like conservative when I'm like, plan your pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've been thinking about it a lot lately too. Like that, I think with 40, it was sort of like, I think I got past that point where I was like, I have to know the entirety of my life. But I do feel like these next 5 years are kind of crucial. Like I have to make a decent number of decisions.
I don't know,
like,
man. Dudes can be 72 and they're just like shooting out semen everywhere.
Yeah,
and
you could be
babies.
Like a letterman who has a kid at like 60 or something like
but
that.
But I remember those kids from high school whose dad was like 80 when at graduation. And like I felt bad for them. I don't want to be that dad.
I think about that. And then I was like, now I joke about a young hot mom. Because my mom's only, when I'm 34, she's 55.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, my mama still looked so young.
Yeah.
I was like, a baby, like she looks younger than 55 now. And I'm just like, my child mother who was like toting me around.
I don't know anyone who's the age your mom was when you were born. Like, I don't know any 21, right? So that's the math?
Yeah.
I don't know any 21-year-olds. Like, that's a young person to me at this point. Yeah.
My whole family had, all the women in my family had children very young.
Yeah.
And then there's me, my cousin, and my brother who have no kids yet. And I'm the oldest, 34. My cousin's 33. My brother's 30. And I was like, why don't you guys have kids here? I'm like, we just are barely growing up right now. Like, are you kidding? I mean, like, oh my God.
My parents were pretty old when they had me. My mom was 37.
Oh, wow.
And she was 40 when she had my brother.
Oh, see, then I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
No. I think all those numbers are lies.
Your mom is probably super fertile.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, she's always talking about how fertile she is.
All those Georgia peaches.
You should talk about your mom more.
I'm always trying to, but she just goes on about being fertile.
How old was your dad?
My dad was a few years younger. My dad was
interesting.
My dad was my dad's 5 years younger than her. So she was 37. He was 32.
That feels like a very interesting like Southern dynamic. Was your mom a career woman?
Both had careers.
That's a term I like to throw around, career woman.
I like that.
They both had jobs. Yeah, she's a career woman.
Just, okay. And what do your parents do or did?
My dad was an engineer, is an engineer, a civil engineer. My mom was a nurse at the time and is now a college professor, teaches business school.
Hmm. Wow.
So she had a career change.
When did she have
a big
career
change?
When she went to grad school when my brother was born.
Okay.
Or a little before my brother was born.
Wow.
So like after I was born.
So your so when you were born, your mom was a nurse.
She might not be. I don't think she was a nurse anymore.
Okay.
Around then.
Hmm.
That's crazy. She had to go to school for that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of schooling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had
twice.
A career.
Yeah. She went to.
Pat Joan was like, I can't do. I can't nurse anymore.
Disgusted by the idea of nursing and medicine. She was old enough that when she went to where I went to college and where Madeline went to college, North Carolina, mm-hmm. she went to North Carolina. But when she went there, the only way, the only right. women they admitted were to the nursing school.
Oh, that makes
and
sense.
And so that was how you went as a woman. And then.
That's right. When we went to North Carolina together, I took a picture of you in front of a pavilion that your mom to show to your mom. Right.
Yeah.
Is that what's the name of that pavilion?
The Old Well.
Old Well.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys went to the same college or at the same time?
We went
to Madeline's wedding.
Yeah.
And Madeline
oh,
and Ben's wedding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
3 years ago or so.
Yeah, we were roomies.
You know, at
fun.
Yeah, that was a great weekend.
It was a great weekend.
At UNC right now, there's a big movement. There's a Saunders Hall at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big movement right now to get that name changed
to the Joe Saunders
to the Joe Saunders Hall, because the Saunders it's named after was a founder of the KKK.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I saw
they should change
they
that
should change
to,
yeah,
to
yeah.
Joe Saunders yes. Hall.
I'm going to make an endowment and yeah.
Well,
I'll just still be Saunders Hall.
Yeah, I remember that was all over the papers when we were at least last time I was in North Carolina. I go to North Carolina for weddings from time to time.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's at least two. Were you at the last one?
I don't think so.
You were at the last one.
Were you at the last one?
No, I've never been to either of the Carolinas.
No.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go.
Sold.
On it.
So you mentioned you've had some health things recently. You want to where
yeah,
you have a game to talk?
Talk
okay,
about it.
Let's do it.
Crazy. It's not that crazy. So in the end of December, I went to a holiday party and like I wore heels. I got food poisoning, but mm-hmm. then I woke up the next morning and was like, God, I feel sick. I'm like just throwing up everywhere. And then I was like, my foot's numb. And then 4 days later, I'm like, my foot's still numb.
Oh, shit.
And wait, tingling. And
this is all the same story with the food poisoning. Like this is all.
It was one of those things where I ignored it. And I was like, oh, it's probably because I wear heels, it'll go away. And then it didn't go away. And then so I just went to a chiropractor just to be like, I don't know, what do they think? Because it was easy just to get into a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And I went to this chiropractor because she was like a registered nurse as well, which made me trust it even more. Because some people mm-hmm. are like, chiropractors, they're fake doctors. And she was like, I think you have a bulging disc, which I can't treat you like I normally would. So I'm going to treat you like a person who has a bulging disc, because I think what it is pushing on all these nerves mm-hmm. that's cutting off circulation.
This is in your foot, a disc in your foot?
No.
In your back, in my lower back.
Yeah.
Okay,
and I've had some lower
means,
back issues because mm-hmm. I did a lot of hard like manual labor very young in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God. And so she was doing these things on me, which was like, they don't crack you or bend you. She just uses a little machine and then like you're on a table and it pushes you up. It kind of stretches out your lower back. And I was going three times a week. And after like a week and a half, I mm-hmm. started feeling way better and that stuff. But it was like, I have to go get this MRI and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And like right now it's just like rest, rest, rest. Don't do these certain things. Don't lift.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between that, I was like, went to seeing a chiropractor, doing that, and then like thinking, oh, okay, I need to get more serious about my back health because fuck it, your back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went for like a yearly pap smear. You guys, this is what women have to do
mm-hmm.
every two. I mean, they 1 year, 2 year depends. And then they're like, oh, it's an abnormal pap. P.S. I had a year before, year and a half, two years before, they're like, oh, you have HPV. Do you guys know anything? Because I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my boyfriend must have given it to me. And they're like, no, it could have just been living in your body for 10 years.
Huh.
And it just can come out during different things.
Okay.
But they're like, it usually goes away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I thought that happened with men. I thought with women, they just knew. Okay. So you
so
sometimes
in
yeah.
dudes, it most often goes away. In women, it's a 2 year period.
Yeah, yeah.
And it should go away. And they're like, it's non-cancerous. Don't worry about it. And I was like, great. So then this year, they're like, oh, abnormal. We got to do another test. Go in. Oh, so and the call I got from the nurse was like, okay, so we got your results back, and you have pre cancer. And I was like,
whoa.
what does that mean?
Did she say it like that?
Yes. And I was like, what? Which I was like, wait, I thought this strain was non-cancerous. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, they all can turn to cancer. It just doesn't happen in everybody. And I was like, wait, what? And then I immediately called a friend of mine who went through some of this, and she was like, listen, the same thing happened to me. I think, like, doctors really don't know, and they don't tell you certain things so you don't freak out. And then so because of that, they're like, oh, we have to do a biopsy. And so, but we don't know if we're going to do the biopsy. So they go in. It's actually kind of interesting, and I did take pictures.
Oh, really?
After each thing. I can show you guys later. Yeah, they're gross. If you're into seeing little tiny pieces of my cervix in a jar. Well, someone's going to take a piece of me out. I want to see it.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely.
How big a piece are we talking? Like, is it?
So the first one is tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But then the crazy part is they don't show you the tools they use. It's all hidden. And so you're laying on a table. This is all room for a guy, so I'm sure you don't know. You're laying on a table. Your legs are up there in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it's kind of strange. Yes. They put this chemical in you.
Ben is demonstrating.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I can't get him out, but yeah, yeah.
He's got his arms over his head. That's exactly how
I've seen the movie, yeah.
They put this chemical in you, and then they've got these giant binoculars that they look in your vagina with, and they flash a light, and it's like, if something, like, lights up, then they'll take the biopsy. And so something lit up, but then I'll tell you, she's like, okay, taking a sample, and then what they do is they just cut a piece of you off, and you're just like,
right. Like with like scissors?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's like these, I'll show you. It's these really long scissors with this other little scalpel so they grab
I think
and
I've
cut.
Seen, I think
they're
I've,
like yes. this long.
That's terrifying. Scissors and should then, never be that big. It's a general rule.
I had it, like, they're like, you might cramp a lot after, and I had no cramping. By that time, she's like, oh, you just cut a piece of me off. And then that came back that I needed to have a deeper biopsy done, which is crazy. And they're like, well, we wouldn't do this in a younger person, but because of your age,
oh,
I'm like,
no,
Jesus
again.
Christ, get off, come on. And then, so you have to schedule this thing called a, oh God, I can't even think of it now. Yeah, why can't I think of it? I've said it so many times, probably because my brain wants to forget that it ever happened.
Yeah.
So you go in and they're like, they have to like cut with like, an electric little round thing. It looks like a hook and has electrodes through it. And they cut out a core, like a core. So it's like a triangle deep into your cervix. Right. So they can see if there's anything further in.
Yeah, yeah.
And
do you get like anesthesia or
so
anything?
So they
like
ask her, like, do you want laughing gas? Then she goes, my guy goes, your insurance won't cover it because for some reason insurance companies don't think women should not feel pain or like not be comfortable.
Jesus.
And I was like, well, you're probably right. I go, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
She's like,
good question.
First thing I was like, ooh. And then she's like, it's $120 out of pocket. I was like, that's not bad, but I'm cheap. And I'm like, do you guys do a local? She's like, yeah, we'll localize you. It's not a big deal. The laughing gas is just for your comfort.
Right.
And I really think it's more for them, so you're not freaking out.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I passed on it because you had to make this decision before. I'm like, well, if you change your mind when you come in, you can just. But also I was like, I can do this by myself. I don't need anyone to drive me. And so I go, and then they're like, okay, and this is the sign off for the laughing gas. I go, oh, I chose not to use the laughing gas. And everyone looked at me like I was crazy in that moment. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, I'm by myself. I didn't have anyone drive me. I want to take laughing gas and I'll be able to drive home. And they're like, well, you can wait here until like as long as you need. But I'm like, the last appointment of the day. I'm like, how long are you guys going to be here?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm fine. I'm pretty tough. But high pain tolerance. So then I get into the room, and then they just localize you with lidocaine, which is what dentists use. So they just use a giant needle, shoot it straight into your cervix.
Oh, God.
Which actually doesn't really hurt. It just feels – there's different feelings down there, yes, but it just feels like kind of like a hard pinch. Like,
right.
Like not like what you think, but then you feel it in your face first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's lidocaine, so it goes to your face first. And I'm like, oh, God, my ears are ringing. They're like, oh, that's good, that's good. But so they start the procedure, and it's this whole thing, and like they're burning a piece of your cervix out. I start to feel it in the middle of, and so they have to numb me more, which is crazy. And then you see smoke coming out of my vagina.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay. And then they take two core samples, which I thought was one. And oh, the thing with this where you don't want to have this, why can't I remember what it's called? Oh, a colonoscopy.
We can look it up. Oh, colonoscopy.
No, that's the first one. This is, it's called a LEAP. I'm sorry. It's like, it's shortened for something. So the colonoscopy is the first. So everyone who has this going on, I hope anyone who's ever had HPV maybe listens to this.
Yeah, listen up.
But the first biopsy is called a colonoscopy, which is the little one. And then the second one is a LEAP, which if you don't Google it, women, because it'll say like, you'll never be able to have kids again, which is not true.
Yeah, yeah.
My doctor said, well, if you had five of them, maybe. but yeah, because you're taking pieces of your cervix out, and your cervix is what holds the baby into your uterus. So it's a really strong muscle.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yes.
What is cervix made of? Like, what is the...
I don't know, man. I think it's just muscle.
It is, okay.
It's like contracts it's like... and it's like...
But it would be like muscle as opposed to like cartilage or something. Like,
yeah,
I don't really know what a cervix is.
Are those different things? I guess so. Yeah,
cartilage is hard. I'm not a doctor here, but
no.
I think it's mostly just all of that stuff is just muscle.
Okay, yeah. I realized I had no idea what a cervix actually was as we were talking about it. I was like, what would pieces of that look like? I guess we're going to see.
Yeah, I'll show you guys. I'm really into showing people because it also grosses people out. But I'm like, this is my body.
We got with the. LEAP stands for loop electrosurgical excision procedure for abnormal cervical cell changes.
Yes.
So that's what you were going through.
Okay.
Thank you, Anoush.
Thank you. So it's like, it's this like little hoopy loop thing that they use to cut just a core. But then I felt super weird afterwards. Oh, guys, you guys okay getting real gross?
Sure.
I love telling this story. When you tell another, you guys won't. It won't affect you that much, but ladies, if you're listening, I know you're just going to be like, oh, I feel like, so they put all this stuff in you, Monsils, which is like stops bleeding, but they also like cauterize you a lot after this. But then they also were like, okay, we're going to insert two tampons. And I was like, what? So then they just shove two tampons in you because it's like if there's any bleeding, then they give you a giant pad to wear, which I haven't worn in forever. I was like, I don't know if this will fit in my pants. And then you walk out, I was kind of out of it and was like, I feel crazy. And I got my car and drove home, and I should not have driven home.
No. Nothing about this sounds like you should have driven home.
I thought it wasn't going to be a big deal. Like your doctor's like, it's not a big deal.
Oh,
I do these every day. And she was actually really, it was like really fast. It's like all in all, it was like 45 minutes. You're supposed to leave the tampons in for 24 hours, and the next day you're supposed to pull them out. I had like no bleeding, and I like almost had to call my doctor to be like, I cannot get them out. And you're not supposed to leave tampons in even 24 hours.
Toxic shock, right?
Yeah.
Toxic
so it's
shock.
Like,
yeah.
I was like started to stress. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'd be freaking. I'm freaking right now.
It's gross. And that was the most painful thing was trying to get those out of my body.
Two tampons in at one time is like crazy, right? Like that's not something people do. Right?
I don't, but there's a difference too. This is so gross. Like dry tampons, like you can't, it's like they're stuck in there. You're like ripping. It's like the worst, weirdest feeling. And I was just like, I don't even know. And it was just already so much stuff was going on down there. And like, it was just terrible. But guys, I'm great now.
Yeah, no, you're
nothing. There's no cancer or pre-cancer, which
that's
is good.
Good.
And then the whole time doing that, I was having blood work done. And I have an autoimmune disease on top of that. So it's like I have Hashimoto's, which is not that bad, which is a thyroid thing, which also explains a lot of my issues starting from when I was 30. And I was like, it was always like all these things at once. I'm like, my back's fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have pre-cancer. Now I have an autoimmune disease. And I'm like, I can't think about going to the fucking dentist.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, like, what's a dentist going to tell me?
Your teeth are the least of your problems at
this
point.
Yeah, all your teeth got to come out.
what was the name of the autoimmune?
Hashimoto's? Okay. There's another one that's really bad where your eyes bulge out.
Oh, it's, and this one's a thyroid thing.
It's thyroid.
Do you get like, do you have like throat issues and stuff frequently?
No, dude, I just get so tired.
Oh, okay.
And then.
Was that, this is something you found out when you were around like 30 or you've known you've had it for a long time?
Actually, I've had like, when I've had, I get a physical every year with my gyno too. I get nonstop shop. They do it all. And then everything's been till like, they're like, okay, well, your thyroid is leaning a little to like hypothyroidism. You should like look into this soon or whatever. And then every year I ignore it.
Yeah, yeah.
And this year it was like, we need to do another panel for your thyroid. And then so, because it's all, it has to deal with hormones too. So like my gynecologist is a hormone therapist. And so there's all these things. So she's like, this is only going to get worse, and the fact that you haven't dealt with this is going to be a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she brings up kids again, because why wouldn't she? And she's like, this could – she went, you're not trying to get pregnant, are you? And I went, God, no. And she's like, well, you're going to need to deal with this if you want to get pregnant. Right. And I was like, what's happening? She's like, it's not a big deal, but you should deal with it. I'm like, what? And I was like – 34 has been weird.
Yeah, 34 has been weird. What do I need to deal with if I just want to see a dentist?
I don't know, man. And I was just like, that's why I was just like, it's, I guess I just had my last appointment for the cervical stuff a few weeks ago.
Okay, very
recently.
So
that's been like, then I got the lab back there. You're great. And of course, like when my doctor looked in there, she's like, you look awesome. And I'm like, oh, I believe you.
She had the binoculars out.
She's in there.
The snow smoke.
Yeah. My favorite is they have this light and they pull it over and they get right in there. And you're like, uh-huh.
Yeah, the binoculars thing is crazy. Like treating it like it's the cheap seats for your vagina. Yeah. It's a,
I mean, they got to see what's going on in there. Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't get you better seats.
Yeah.
Well, let's promote general health and well-being.
Yes.
With this Cody was very kind and brought us some dragon fruit, of which Joe, have you ever tried before?
I don't think so, but it's very timely. You know, it's Game of Thrones just ended.
Listen,
oh yeah, just,
my neighbor gave it to me. She grows it, and she's like, it's got a lot of health benefits. And I was like, all right, sure. Because I never, and then I looked it up, and I was like, oh my god, it does have a lot of health benefits.
I can't get it open.
You just got it.
Just yank.
Use your muscles.
I did it. Okay.
It says, okay, try a piece and I'll read this.
Oh. Anosh.
Dragon fruits have a surprising number of phytonutrients. I'm not really sure what that means. Rich in antioxidants. I know what that means. They contain vitamin C, equivalent to 10% of the daily value, polyunsaturated good fatty acids, several B vitamins for carbohydrate metabolism, as well as carotene and protein.
Okay. So it's got all the good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's try it. Now let's see if we enjoy it.
I'm already eating them.
Yeah, I like it pretty good.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I like it too.
It's kind of a melony.
Yeah. Now that I've cut it up, when I first cut it up, it was room temp. I was like, it doesn't really taste anything. Now it tastes sweeter.
Yeah, it's got a, yeah.
Put that in the fridge, let it get cold.
Refreshing.
Yeah. Are the black things seeds?
They're seeds. I guess the seeds are really, really good for you.
Really? All right. I'm going to have another one.
Yeah.
Anybody
eat
else?
More. Please. I was like shocked. It's good for your skin. It's good for all sorts of things, guys. So, it's also called pitaya.
Okay.
Pitaya. So it's from, yeah.
How do you spell pitaya?
P-I-T. Wait, I just had it right here. Why am I pretending like... P-I-T-A-Y-A. It's from the Central America.
Okay. So kind of like papaya.
Yeah.
It seems like there are a lot of good uses for this.
Yeah.
Like you could put this on a salad. You could
make
a smoothie out of this. You could put this on ice cream.
I read that it is giving the acai berry a run for its money.
Oh, interesting.
So guys, get on that dragon fruit. Mm-hmm. I think it's dragon fruit season. All I know is my neighbor and landlord has like 15 plants.
Yeah.
And she's like, I have too many. I can't eat them. And she leaves them at my doorstep.
I don't think dragon fruit's cheap. I think if you go to like the farmer's market or something, I think
is
that's like
really
the
expensive?
Most expensive
I've
one.
Never
yeah.
tried to buy it before. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know what that fruit is.
I think I did try to buy it once and it was like in the like $5 or $6 a pound kind of, which is, that's an expensive fruit.
Neighbor grows a whole bunch of weird stuff. She grows a thing that I had to look up because it's called stinkweed and it smells terrible and it comes through our window and I really, really hate it. But she's like, it has a lot of medicinal purposes. So she grows all this stuff, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm really jealous because I can't grow anything.
Wow.
If you told me this was really bad for you, I would stop eating it in a second. But knowing that it's really good for me, I think I love it.
Yeah.
Things have changed for me now. Mm-hmm. I was like, it said mash it up and put it on your skin. I was like, I mean, I might try it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd make a facial mask out of this stuff.
I'm a woman. I literally would put almost anything on my face if someone says it'll make you look better.
Hey, me and Joe too.
Yeah, we should have done it at the beginning of the recording.
Yeah.
Just had we should all have done masks.
Yes.
I'll mush
see
a little
how beautiful
in my face.
We are after.
Oh, Ben's doing it right now.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm glowing.
You just rubbed it right into your beard.
Yeah, it's true.
My
beard is glowing.
I bet it's moisturizing.
It is. It actually feels really nice.
I feel really cold.
Yeah.
It's like putting cucumbers
on your
eyes. Does it
feel good?
It feels actually really good.
Madeline's really fucking missing
out. Madeline, wherever you are, I didn't bother to listen when you were telling me.
Hey, Madeline, fuck you. I'm just kidding. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
There is something about, like, even like, sometimes every once in a while as a joke, I'll call Madeline a bitch, and then I'll immediately apologize. She's just one of those people you, like, look at her face, and you're like, I'm so sorry I said that to you. Now I wish I hadn't done this to my face. But, you know.
There's literally no napkins in here. That's right. You're just going to be so beautiful.
Yeah,
at the end of your skin's going to be glowing.
Just that one part of your face is really, I can't stop looking at it.
I'm ready.
Yeah. he did the Pat pose again.
I get into Pat pose.
Pat pose.
I love it.
Let's play a game. You want to play a game with us?
Yeah.
All right, nice. This is a game. This is an upsetting game that we play from time to time. Called The Pyramid of Murdered. We played it a few times. Basically, what we're going to do is give you... all right, I got to just wipe this off. This is... What a disaster. Madeline, you're supposed to keep me from doing shit like this.
Madeline, it's great.
It's great. Yeah. Okay, so... What you'll see here, we got this little list that we'll use for you, and this will be the pyramid. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you 9 different ways that you could be murdered. And what I want you to do, to increase the level of upsetting for this game, is to think about them in like the worst possible way.
Okay.
So, for instance, like one of the options is going to be defenestration, being thrown from a window, right? So
that has a word.
That's what that
has a word. Yeah. So in most cases, what's going to happen is you're going to go into shock and you're going to die in midair, and then you're just going to hit the ground. But for the
best case scenario.
Exactly. And so we're going to think worst case scenario, meaning you're staring at the ground as it's coming closer to you, then you hit the ground, die on it.
Like you're feeling your face hit, and you're like, ah!
Exactly. And then you suffer through it for a little while and die. So the point being that, like, don't try to think to yourself, like, best case scenario. Think which
worst
of these
case
worst scenario. Case scenarios is best.
I think you'll be really good at this.
I think you're going to be good at this, too. I was happy to, I was put in charge of coming up with the game for you, and this was the one that I chose. I thought one, you'd be introspective about it.
Okay.
Two, I thought that it wouldn't upset you in a way that like you carried out into the world. That like it would just be.
I'm glad that you know that about me.
So wait, Cody's going to rank these or come up their, the worst ones.
So she's gonna going to start by saying like this is the one that I would want. This is the way I would want to die, be murdered the least, and that's what we're going to put on this bottom row.
Okay.
And then ultimately, you'll choose with this top row the way in which you'd most like to be murdered. You know, everyone's thought about it.
Okay.
These are the items, and I'm going to write them down for you so that you can so you can see all of them. Actually, Joe, will you write while I list?
No. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So, the list is poisoned.
Poisoned.
Asphyxiated. That's a hard one, yeah.
Okay.
Defenestrated.
Defenestrated.
That's the window one?
Yeah, that's, thrown from high up. Decapitated.
Mm.
Slashed, so like your throat cut. Stabbed. Shot, drowned, and burned. These are not fun.
Yikes.
So now, you've got the list,
okay.
And you'll pick your, and of course, you'll get to take this home with you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love stuff like this, and my partner hates it.
Why do you say partner?
I said at the beginning this, he wanted me to.
But why? Like,
I don't know. He just said, if you talk about me... call me your boy. And then I said, I'm going to say you're my boyfriend. My boyfriend.
And you did once and then corrected yourself. And I think you even heard the way it came out of your mouth and decided you wanted partner. Maybe
partner.
Partner maybe does work.
Partner sounds pretty good.
Yeah. No, I like partner.
He's my partner.
Yeah.
He's
in life. Partner. Yeah. Yeah. It's a sign of respect. Okay. So which of those sound like the worst way to go?
I didn't spell any of these correctly. These are way off.
Oh, like I burned because I assume like you're alive.
Yeah.
Right?
You're alive suffering through all
that,
of these.
That's got to be the absolute worst. And I burned. Short story, and I put this on Facebook a couple weeks ago. Every once in a while remember that my after school daycare counselor in first and second grade kidnapped an 8-year-old boy from another school he worked at, bound him to a tree in the park up the street from my school, and tortured him and burned him alive.
Oh my God.
But then later it was revealed that he also molested him, like, or raped him, not molested. And I think about that and what a terrible death that poor boy had. And I was like, that would be the worst. Alive and being burnt has to be the worst.
Good Lord.
So burned at the bottom of the pyramid. So, Joe, will you cross off burned from the list?
Yes.
Okay, Cody. Burning is off the table. What is the next worst?
We're talking about I would say slashed when you talked about the throat because I feel like, and maybe this is just all I know about it, is from like, I don't know, it's like Game of Thrones or like anything where people like talking, because it depends on like how deep it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you could bleed out. Some people are saved from it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like, I don't think that I would be.
Mm-mm.
I had a pretty small neck.
Yeah, you do.
So it's like, I think I would just be like, and you're like gargling.
Just be honest.
Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. And you're just like, you're feeling yourself. And what happens is you end
down.
Isn't it like you end up drowning on your own blood too?
Oh, you're right. You like gurgle and then
you bleed out, but sometimes you choke to death.
And you look at like you look down and you see it and you panic and there's a million bad things that happen.
Yeah, that's no.
Okay, so slashed. Joe, please eliminate slashed from Cody's list.
All right.
How are you feeling about this game so far? Is it working for you?
I love it.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. Thrown out a window.
Defenestration.
Oh, see, I'm in between that and drowned. But let's go drowned.
Okay.
Because that was the first one I went to.
Yeah, drowned sounds like.
Because I don't even like accidentally getting water into my nose.
Yeah.
And that's like the worst thing. And I can just imagine it's like you gasp and you can't.
Yeah.
Like when somebody makes you laugh while you're drinking, that's one of the worst feelings in the world to me. Like when it comes out your nose.
It's like. You're dying and you're breathing in water and then you're choking, you can't, and then that feeling, I'm not into that.
Okay. Joe, have you eliminated drowned?
He did that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Then the next one I would say, like, the window one.
Defenestration, okay.
Because then it's like what we were saying earlier is, like, if you feel yourself hit the ground and then you're slowly dying.
Yeah. So we'll say it's like you're being thrown from high enough up that you would die, but not so high that you would go into shock and your body shuts down.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But it's like you would just be lucky if you went head first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're like landed feet first or on your side, I mean, no, you're in so much pain.
So much pain. Ugh.
Yeah, no, mark that, Joe.
Okay.
Get it off of there.
Defenestration.
Okay.
Wait. Yep.
So burned, slashed, drowned, defenestrated.
Asphyxiated, I think, is my next one.
Okay, yeah. And now, for clarity's sake, are you thinking of being choked or like a pillow over the face kind of thing?
I kind of went with choked.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even like wearing like turtleneck. I don't like
anything. Yeah, no, I don't like it either.
And
I'm kind of into it. No, I'm just kidding.
I dated someone who told me once that like his first sexual experiences in high school were him and his girlfriend would like choke each other out, and I'm like, that is fucking insane.
In high
that's
school,
like all you, that's the first thing you went to.
That's crazy.
And I was like, he was actually one of the more normal people I had ever dated.
Yeah, I always wonder when in those situations, like, yeah, you hear these stories of people like eventually growing tired of like traditional sex and landing there. But when you start out, like, it makes you think like, oh, somebody's hurt you in the past.
Yeah, and go that's to what therapy. You,
yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to do this dangerous thing or make me feel no. And that's like another way I think control freaks don't want that.
Yeah.
You don't
want
to lose control and be like out of it. Mm-mm. But I guess you want that high from it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Man.
Like that, really that border of like just barely in control. Like, yeah.
Go to therapy.
Yeah, go to therapy, Joe. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Joe, get that off of there.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Burned, slashed, drowned, defenestrated, asphyxiated.
I think poisoned would be next.
Okay.
Because it's like how no one just gets poisoned. It's like. Oh.
No, you're like. Oh.
Yeah, painful, you can't control yourself.
Poison. Yeah.
No, and you're like foaming at the mouth, and like you're like, help me. No, not being poisoned.
Like that.
Help me.
Like that. Who's that guy? That Russian guy that died years ago, and they said he had been poisoned by the Russian government. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Like,
but it was like long. It took a long.
Time. He was like weird radiation, right?
Yeah.
What was it?
Patinkin?
And it was just,
Mandy Patinkin.
No,
yeah, Mandy Patinkin.
No, what's the guy? It was no. I think we're thinking of different stories.
Remember, he was in the hospital for a long time. And they said it was like someone had poked him, maybe with like an umbrella. Wasn't
that
it?
I heard that it was just like a drop of like uranium or something. We're just gossiping in his tea. Is what they think.
Maybe that was it.
And then
that
he was like slowly.
Here we go.
Poisoned.
Who is it?
Viktor Yushchenko.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and he turned super old. He like turned like into an old.
Whoa.
Yeah, it seems super painful and terrible. And then he was like, I think this is what happened to me.
Shit. Okay. We've got three more items on the list.
I know. I think about this one a lot. So I'm just going this one as stabbed.
Stabbed. Okay.
Because I feel like that is like maybe more likely to happen. I don't want it to happen because it's like you can be stabbed a ton and survive it, and then you can just be stabbed once and it just hits an artery. Time of my brother cut his femoral artery and almost died. So if he has a ton of problems from it, but like someone can just stab you once and be hard for you to get somewhere and you just bleed out, which doesn't seem that terrible. But I think being stabbed by someone or on accident or just anything is very like could happen to anybody.
Oh yeah, I watched it happen once and it was probably the most terrifying thing
you
I ever saw.
You watched a person be stabbed?
Like I saw, like in a robbery, like I saw a guy, like.
You did?
Yeah, at a bodega in New York. Yeah.
I know a comedian who got stabbed. He was like getting like mugged and he got stabbed. But I mean, he's fine.
I got stabbed.
Oh, yeah. Joe's story. Joe got stabbed in the neck.
What?
I got stabbed. This was talked about on my Definitely Dying episode. I got stabbed in the neck during a mugging in college.
With what?
Like a pen knife.
A pen knife? Where's the scar?
There's no scar.
Oh.
But it was right here.
Yeah.
Whoa, Joe.
I know.
It was crazy.
You got stabbed in the neck.
Yeah.
Guys, listen to the Joe Saunders episode so you can hear this riveting story that's also terrifying.
It's crazy. I forget it happens sometimes. And then
I need to listen to that. I haven't listened to that one.
In the parking lot of a Panera Bread.
Mm-hmm.
In
Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Who would have thunk?
I'm never going to the Carolinas now. Why are you trying to convince me to go?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got two left. And I'll say one of them. One of them, it's making its way up pretty high up the pyramid, I would guess.
I feel like I'm going to shock some people who have forgotten.
Yeah.
But the next one is shot, because I feel like that's also pretty likely to happen in this day and age. But it's also like there's a lot of people who survive stabbings and gunshots.
You keep
50 Cent was shot how many times and survived?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's true. You're not going to survive this one, though. This is the pyramid of murder.
This is why I'm like, I'm going to give you my reasons why I think
okay.
this
no,
next
no, that's
one
fair.
Is.
Okay.
So
this
I
is
think
crazy.
Decapitation, I feel like, listen, I know this is probably we're supposed to do worst case where it's like a rusty and you're like, but if, like, you just chop your head off, great. But I get in the one side, everything else is terrible. Like, you just be smashed. But I don't know. I just feel like that one I don't worry about so much.
It feels kind of clean. Just
but
like
it
your
feels
head
clean. You're
just
like, done. Yeah. You're dead. That's it. Your body might move, but you're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like even if it goes badly, you're still pretty dead pretty quickly.
Yeah. So I guess we're, well, yeah. Oh, no, okay.
It could That's, go, listen, yeah, the worst could, case right. is like,
they're all bad
some
cases.
Fucking weirdo could just have you in a basement and have this weird, Saw. Rusty,
yeah.
like,
oh, yeah.
samurai sword his dad gave him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just like can't, he just gets hacking at your neck. Oh right?
Cody, you need a murder podcast, Obi. You would be great on a murder podcast.
I mean, listen, I watch a lot of true crime stuff.
Yeah, it's apparent.
Crazy shit's happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah, knife stuff is also weird because people put their hands out. I'm like, I think about, would I ever fight? They tell you to put your shoes on your hands or lay on your back and kick with your feet if someone's coming at you. Sorry, I moved away from the mic at a very important time.
Shoes on your hands.
Put your shoes on your hands or lay on your back and kick with your feet because your shoes are actually protection from a knife attack. And there's like no huge, like there's arteries in your feet, but you're more likely to survive being cut on your foot than say like your arms or something.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So.
Survival tips.
From best to worst. Way to be murdered by Cody Fisher. Number one, decapitation. Number two.
Yeah, I had to clap for myself.
Number two, being shot. Mm-hmm. Number three, stabbed. Number four, poisoned.
Oh, terrible.
Number five. And this is the hump murder. We're right in the middle murder.
Yeah, yeah.
Asphyxiated. All right. Then defenestrated.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. But yeah.
Okay. Followed by drowned. Then slashed.
No. Slashed. Never on the neck.
And
Joe got slashed.
Joe Scott. So yeah. The worst way to murder Cody would be. To burn her alive.
Wait, I didn't realize that you were telling people out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Still, clap.
Stay away from me, all you murderers.
Yeah. That's why she uses her middle name so you can't find her.
Definitely can't find me more. I don't know.
Wow, that was fun, and my feelings about how you would play the game going in were 100% validated. You did with both a great deal of fun, humor, a lot of introspection. It scared me a little bit. It's everything I hope for the game.
Oh, good.
So
I'm
thank
really
you,
glad.
Cody.
You're welcome,
and thank you for being such a wonderful guest. Do you want to tell our lovely listeners where they can find you on the internet? I know you're trying to avoid that in general, but
no. Yeah. Please come find me.
She likes attention.
Twitter is at justcody, and it's C-O-D-I, Cody. Me and Zig have several conversations about the spellings of our names. And Instagram is, it's just Cody.
Oh, great.
Instagram.com. I don't know how Instagram works.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just Cody. Nothing in between. No.
Just letters.
An ad symbol before, probably.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah. You kids know how to work.
Yeah, you can.
Media.
Yeah, if you can't figure out how to use Instagram, leave Cody alone.
Also, Cody Elizabeth Fisher at Facebook.
Yeah,
I mean, we already talked about.
Yeah,
this.
You're probably already friends.
Get at me.
Cody, thanks so much for joining us. This is so much fun.
No, thanks,
thank you,
guys.
Thanks, Cody. That was great.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.